Hi, everybody, and welcome to Academics of PA. My name is Bruce McDonald, and I'm here today with Mary Guy from the University of Colorado Denver and Brian Williams from the University of Virginia, both of whom also serve as the co-editors-in-chief of the Journal of Social Equity and Public Administration. So, Mary and Brian, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much.
Glad to be here.
So I'm just going to call the journal JCEPA, since that's what we always do kind of in most conversation. And it's a little bit easier than saying the full name all the time. But JCEPA itself is a brand new journal that you're working on putting out the first issue in the next few months or next spring, I believe. Since most people might not yet be familiar with the journal, I'd wonder if you might start by kind of telling us what the journal is and what the journal is trying to accomplish.
JCEPA is a journal dedicated to bringing forth the best research, being at the leading edge of social equity and public administration and everything that that means. So, I mean, for years, public administration has had its standard journals in human resources and in budgeting and in performance management. And JCEPA is a journal whose time has come. This field should have a journal committed to and dedicated to social equity. And that's what it's about. Let me give a little background in terms of its sponsorship and how it is supported and so forth. It is sponsored by the Section on Democracy and Social Justice of the American Society for Public Administration. So it is an ASPA-sponsored journal. It is funded by three generous donors, the University of Nebraska, Omaha, Virginia Commonwealth University, and the University of Minnesota. And it is the University of Minnesota's digital publishing arm that is hosting the website for the journal. We have an editorial team of six. That is Brian and I, as you've already heard, as editors-in-chief. Adam Croft is a member of the team. He is here at the University of Colorado, Denver. He's about halfway through his dissertation. And he is the IT expert and social media guru for the journal. And then we have three associate editors, James Wright at Florida State University, Tia Gaynor at University of Cincinnati and transitioning to the University of Minnesota, and Jody Benenson at the University of Nebraska, Omaha. This journal didn't just crop up out of nowhere. It took years of planning, and that planning was done by Susan Gooden, Richard Gregory Johnson, Jade Barry James, and Sean McCandless. And with all of them working together, planning, strategizing, finding funders, finding a way for the journal to be produced, getting the sponsorship from ASPA, it is now in operation. And we anticipate, as of on the morning of January 1, 2023, the first issue, volume one, issue one, will go live. And then on July 1 of 2023, issue number two will go live. So that's where we are with this. And Brian and I are stewards of all of this good work that all of these people have done and are doing.
Yeah, I'd like to just echo that. Mary and I are really just standing on the shoulders of those giants she identified, who really made this possible with the hard work they invested. And we are so appreciative of those institutions who are supporting this effort. And, we think about this journal, JCEPA, being the journal for the Section on Democracy and Social Justice of ASPA. It is extremely important for us to really take advantage of looking at the past, its impact on the present, and utilize that to kind of plan for a much brighter future when we think about addressing those inequities that still are amongst us. I love JCEPA, the vision of it, and bring that vision into reality, because it will provide a way for us to kind of illuminate those inequities, but also provide a space where a lot of learning can take place based upon great research, but also those practitioners who have those experiences that can really inform all of us. So I'm just thrilled to be able to be a part of this team and look forward to my term in terms of appointment with JSEPA.
So there's a couple questions that are coming to mind. You know, the first is, when you talk about it being a journal for social equity, how do you think of and define social equity? You know, it's one of the conversations I've had with several people lately, and everybody defines it a little bit different from a different kind of context. So what falls within the realm of social equity as it pertains to the research that you would see in the journal?
Well, I would say, first of all, you're absolutely right that how we define social equity is it is a work in progress, and depending on how someone enters the subject matter, in fact, they will define it a little differently. So it actually is quite broad. We know that it is social equity is a pillar of public administration. And to that degree, it plays lots of roles. So let me go to an operational standpoint in terms of what we want to see in this journal. And that is, we want a panorama of scholarship. We want thoughtful theoretical pieces. We want empirical pieces where the methods that are used are purely dependent upon the research questions being asked. We are not coming forward and saying this has to be, you know, always quantitative work, or it has to be qualitative, or it has to be mixed. We leave it to the authors to pose a question and to address that question in the most meaningful, helpful way. So the most important focus is that the work that appears in the journal moves the subject of social equity forward and helps everyone's understanding of it. So we expect, and we have manuscripts in the pipeline now that test theory, that track patterns and pathways of equity. We look forward to seeing some experimental work that would advance what we know about human behavior in the quest for equity. So we are really very open to all different subjects. And every single policy domain has equity implications, equity issues, and inequities that need to be brought to the surface and addressed. So there's so much out there that is just so important. And we see this journal as a journal that's in this for the long game, that's going to be here, that's going over the years, its pages will reflect the thinking of the times about equities and inequities. And we will see that progress.
I'd like to add just a little to that as well. When we think about social equity and examination of social equity, think about maybe four issues, right, that surround that: access, process or processes that are fair, quality, and outcomes. And we're looking forward to continuing to receive, you know, manuscripts that really focus in on that, but across, you know, the various policy domains. But also, it's just not a focus here domestically within the U.S., but also internationally. So we're looking forward to receiving some pieces from international scholars who might kind of present some comparative kind of work as well. Anything that better informs us, better inspires us, better motivates us to do what needs to be done. And what I mean by us, both scholars as well as practitioners.
The journal itself is open access, which I think is incredibly important for journals in this day and age. For one, having an open access journal allows a little bit more socially equitable access to the journal, so anybody who wants to can have access to it. But you've mentioned practitioners a couple times. What's the connection between the journal and practitioners? You know, how do you envision that working?
I see it as a great opportunity to kind of bridge the research practice gap. So we have some components when we think about our theory of practice features, inclusive of the racial healing component, as well as the promoting social justice component. But also there are some opportunities for equity audits to be done. So I could see a lot of practitioners kind of contributing to, you know, our awareness, our understanding, our appreciation for what's taken place, what progress has been made, but also some opportunities to continue to kind of move the needle a little forward. So we see this again as being this learning space that's open access. Doors are open, doors aren't closed. And I think that will really allow JSEPA to flourish, to blossom, but also to make a real meaningful difference.
If I can't, just a quick clarification, when you say inventory, what do you mean by a inventory study?
Inventory study?
Well, you had, I'm trying to think of how you phrased it, equity inventory?
Equity audit.
There we go, equity audit.
So when we kind of think about utilizing the lenses, maybe those four aspects that I kind of described, to kind of take a look at policies and practices. I do a lot of work around policing. So you can kind of think about how some departments engage in equity audits, looking at their policies and practices. You know, are their policies and programs really making a difference instead of just producing outputs? Let's think about the outcomes and how that might impact different populations across those jurisdictions. So there are tremendous opportunities for those practitioners to kind of share with us what they're learning, what they're grappling with, and that might inspire us to kind of think about new research questions, new things to test, to explore. But I just see this as a great kind of learning space. If we can continue to get the practitioners and the scholars kind of interacting with one another.
I'm making notes to myself because the first thing that pops through my head is I have a paper that I've been working on thinking about social equity from a budgeting perspective. And we did interviews with a number of cities and several of those cities kind of going back to them and like, hey, why don't you do a, you know, practitioner oriented paper for the journal on what you learned from that experience that then can help inform other cities.
Absolutely, please. And talk to people about this. We want the pages of this journal not just to be, you know, theory-driven work. We need it to be a resource, almost a clearinghouse for information about best practices. In other words, if a jurisdiction has tried a particular initiative, then and it worked, let's get it out into the public domain. Let's get it into the pages of the journal so people can go to this journal and figure out what is working in different places. If an initiative has been tried and it didn't work and there were lessons learned from it, let's get that into the pages of this journal so we can all learn from it.
And we're taking advantage of the opportunity to encourage people to kind of be creative in terms of their scholarship, their sharing of information. And one of the things we're hoping that we will receive some manuscripts that kind of maybe take a look at how social equity is depicted within popular culture, taking advantage of, you know, what's being depicted in videos, in music, in toys, and other things that kind of, they may be hidden in plain sight, but yet they have an impact when we think about inequities, but also some opportunities to kind of promote equity. So we see this as a space and place that's extremely welcoming to all kind of different approaches to better understand and appreciate not only just the obstacles, but also the opportunities to make things better.
And let me just add this additional comment to all of my friends who are listening to this. And that is, if your question is, why should I submit my manuscript to this new journal when there are all these other journals already well established and well known? Well, here's my answer to you, and that is, be a part of making this happen. Be a part of putting social equity right into the mainstream of our scholarship. Be a part of this journal's launch. Help us institutionalize this journal and position it in the mainstream of the field. Your best work will help us do this. So please lean in, just as I am, just as Brian is, just as all of us who care deeply about social equity are doing. Help us launch this journal now so that decades from now, when you are at the end of your career, you can look with pride at the role you played in institutionalizing JSEPA into the mainstream of public administration a long time ago. I think there's just so much to be gained by each of us leaning in, paying attention to social equity, incorporating it into our research, and helping to literally jumpstart this journal.
One, I appreciate you saying that in part because I was going to play a little bit of a devil's advocate and say, you know, that we, given that we have a number of journals out there and social equity kind of takes part in everything, why have a journal that's going to be separate from that? But, you know, as you say, you know, it's part of the conversation. It's part of really what public administration is. It deserves to have its own recognition. It kind of having its own journal allows everything to be in one spot to make it easier for people to find. Having it open access increases that access and availability of the information. The question, I think, then becomes not why have a separate journal, but why now, or what makes this the perfect time to launch that rather than having it 5 years ago or say 5 years from now.
You know, and let me just add on to that. It's certainly what goes on in our culture, what goes on in our neighborhoods, in our communities, drives our research. Public administration is an applied field, and we are paying attention to what jurisdictions are dealing with and struggling with. And absolutely, from the events that have happened in recent years, you know, the time could not be greater, but the time has always been great. It's just that we are finally at a space where there is enough of a strong consensus that we absolutely must pay attention to social equity, and that we cannot fully understand what public administration is about if we do not pay attention to social equity. Another thought that I always have with the reason that JSEPA needs to be in the field is that journals, just like people, go through fads and go through fashions. And right now, social equity is foremost in most of our minds. But there will come a time within the next few years when people will tire of it, and most of the other journals will tire of it. But JSEPA will not. JSEPA is going to be there because this is its mission.
Sorry, I'm thinking of through the idea of it being a fad, which I hate to acknowledge, but that's definitely, I think, one of the concerns a lot of people have. You know, even in, you know, I'm a budget and finance person, what we pay attention to in budget and finance changes dramatically based off of what's going on around us in society.
Absolutely. I mean, right now there's an interest in equity and budgeting. Well, how long have we been studying budgeting? We've been studying it, you know, as long as we've been studying anything in public mm-hmm. administration. But, you know, right now, the topic of equity and equitable budgeting procedures and priorities and examining that which otherwise is simply not looked at, it's time to do it. But we need to just have this built in so that it is always just seen as part of the architecture of public administration and public administration scholarship.
You know, I'd like to kind of say something, and really what continued to reinforce to me the importance of JSEPA is something beyond just being an academic pursuit. Think about Buffalo, and think about what I see, at least from my perspectives, some of the linkages to a lack of cultural understanding, awareness, you know, historical awareness around inequities, around policies and practices that can take lives, if you will, when I think about it. And that's an opportunity for us to kind of keep this in front of people that we do have challenges within our democracy. And as those who are committed to serve the public, safeguard the public, here's yet another opportunity to kind of utilize practice and scholarship to really save some lives, to affect the quality of life of fellow residents, not only of the U.S., but across the globe, too. So this is really important to me as a person of color to really keep it going beyond my time period. And hopefully, once Mary and our tenure is up, someone else will carry the baton, advance it further down the road than we have.
I think you make a really good point about, you know, their equity issues are always going to kind of be there. You know, even with everything that's going on and the attention we've been paying, there are still instances like Buffalo that have happened. And as long as we have any kind of racism or hatred in the world, that's always going to be there, even if we can, you know, minimize it. Now, I'm going back and thinking there's a paper that was written about as a reflection of Minnowbrook too, that mentioned that, you know, social equity really wasn't talked about at Minnowbrook too, because they had, you know, felt it had run its course and kind of been resolved in the field, which certainly it hasn't. The perception of it at that time, maybe it had been to a certain degree, but you know, these are issues that we as a society always have to, you know, address.
Oftentimes, you know, we look at the fruit instead of the root, right? Sometimes things in seasons, fruit, but as long as the root is in place, that fruit will be produced, right? So JSEPA not only looks at the fruit, but also seeks to address the root problem that produces those fruits, if you will. And that's something that we have to be in it for the long, long run, because I think my understanding at this point about the human condition is we discriminate, we make judgments, and that's a part of our human nature. Those are our weaker angels. So JSEPA could be used as a way to heal and promote you know, those fissures that exist within, you know, the human existence within societies, but also to continue to challenge us to try to do things better, to think of one another, to really embrace, you know, whoever the other might be, you know, because oftentimes that's how we've been kind of conditioned. So, again, to me, JSEPA is more than just an academic pursuit. I think it's something that could really impact global society in a very positive way. And that's why I'm committed to its success.
And I echo everything that Brian said. You nailed it, Brian. That's excellent. And let me just, you know, I had to sort of laugh when you talked about Bruce, when you were mentioning Minnowbrook too. I was at Minnowbrook too, and all the conversation was about interconnectedness and collaborations, and you're absolutely right. People sort of, when it came to the issues of social equity, people sort of yawned and said, well, been there, done that, and were, you know, were intrigued with the new shiny. But what the conversation that didn't happen was who was being left out of all of those interconnections, who was being left out of all of those collaborations. And just as with whatever is going on in our HR policies, in our budgeting policies, and the way we set up performance measures, there is always pushback. When there are advances made, and those who are advantaged have to make room at the table, there becomes this pushback that this journal need is here in order to keep an awareness of what happens around that table. What happens when advantage gets spread a little more thinly? What happens with the pushback? How can you deal with that? How can jurisdictions deal with it? Because that's what we're seeing right now. It is part of culture, and JSEPA can be right at the leading edge of paying attention to that all the way along, so that we don't forget it and we don't go just on to the new shiny. We pay attention to these very important, basic, essential elements of what good public administration is all about.
The biblical side of me is coming out with the thought of there's nothing new under the sun. You know, even if we kind of move away from paying so much attention to it, that doesn't mean the problems have been resolved. They might just take a new form and show back up in 3 or 4 years from now. There's definitely a place that we should always kind of have, like JSEPA, that provides that lightning rod of attention.
And I love that idea, because I think we can get a little comfortable, right? There's a quote I often use. in order to bring comfort to the afflicted, you have to afflict the comfortable. And I think that's a process that needs to continue at all times. How do we pride ourselves to be even better? At the University of Virginia, I love one of the sayings of our president, you know, being a good and great university, right? How can we be a good and great, you know, public administration? How do we resist, you know, resting on our laurels, but to continue to kind of think about, well, how can we do things better? And this is an opportunity for us to kind of keep that focus, to afflict the comfortable, to think about how do we make sure that we are serving the least of these in the most humane way, being considerate of, you know, the past policies and practices, and to kind of really take advantage of the opportunity that we have now to kind of form a, you know, thinking about an American context, a more perfect union. And I see JCEPA again serving as that bridge and doing exactly that.
One of the things that you have as part of the launch of the journal is a mini conference that's being held this fall. You know, it's one of the things I kind of really like about how you're setting it up as starting the journal with here's a group of people coming together for conversations around what social equity is, what's going to happen with the research, et cetera. From the perspective of, you know, your positions as editors, what are you hoping comes out of that workshop? What are you hoping to achieve as it relates back both to the journal and social equity research more broadly?
I'll give a quick answer and then Brian will give a full answer. My quick answer is that my hope is that as all of us are there engaging in discourse and dialogue, that it brings social equity to such a center of how we think about things that everyone who leaves there leaves with an idea for their next research piece, their next manuscript, their next collaboration with the practice community, or ideas that will lead to contributions to JCEPA so that it will help expand the manuscripts that come to the journal and the breadth of coverage of issues and areas and ideas.
And we also hope that this will provide a way, a platform to go from words to actions, right? To motivate, to encourage us to continue to engage in research, but also that action-oriented research, producing outcomes and not just outputs. I'm reminded of a quote from Ralph Waldo Emerson, I think is attributed to him, basically says, what lies behind us and before us are but tiny matters when compared to what lies within us. And that's what I'm hoping we would leave that gathering in October with an appreciation for, yes, there are some obstacles before us based upon those things of the past. But if we work collaboratively, intentionally, equitably, we can address them. But we will have to continue to address them because these problems just won't go away. It's a part of that human experience. But we just see this gathering for a summit that centers equity in all that we do in terms of research, scholarship, teaching, policies, and practices, that it will have that kind of rippling effect, not just within the academy, but beyond the academy into our communities and neighborhoods. And the Gathering for a Summit is basically designed to have that effect, bringing together some leading equity scholars, but also leading equity practitioners, but also components within the summit to bring in folks from community to be a part of this process, because it will take all of us to really kind of mitigate, you know, the problems, the issues that we face consistently.
And I am a firm advocate that face-to-face discourse and dialogue is such a powerful way to engage our thoughts and our lived experience and a way to learn that is just, it is powerful in and of itself. So there's that value in it. And I want to emphasize again something that Brian just said, that problems of social equity are not going to go away. There will not come a day when we wake up and go, oh, everything is hunky-dory. It's not going to be that way, because part of the human condition is to have these continual battles between advantage and disadvantage. And it's up to us to be thoughtful about it, to always be paying attention to it, to be thinking about how to overcome those, the issues of disadvantage. So that's discourse. That's how we learn.
And Bruce, one thing that we've been intentional about is kind of thinking about this challenge and the need for succession planning. So a part of this summit, we do have what we call a Social Equity Advocacy and Action Student Summit, or the SEAS Summit, where we will tap into middle and high school kids from this particular part of Virginia, Central Virginia, to be a part of this process. In particular, they will kind of co-produce and co-create these little video vignettes that highlight what they see as some of the inequities that they face. And those will be kind of shown during what we call this Social Equity Film Festival. And then that will have result in a discussion to kind of think about, well, again, we appreciate the obstacles. Now let's kind of think about what are the opportunities to address them. Because I think it's important for us to prepare the leaders of tomorrow today with an understanding of, you know, there will be new challenges on the horizon. Prepare yourself to address those. So we've been intentional in trying to kind of think about JSEPA, the launch of JSEPA in terms of the Equity Summit, to engage in this succession planning. So you'll have senior scholars, you'll have more junior scholars, you'll have graduate students, but you also have some high school and middle school students who will participate in this process, embedded with some practitioners too. So we really look forward to this particular effort to really make a difference globally, not just locally, not just regionally, not just nationally, but globally.
Okay, I have to admit that's actually fairly cool. I had a question all lined up, and as soon as you start talking about incorporating the high school and junior high students, my question went out the window. In part, now I just want to watch the videos that they produce, but there is something of value in bringing in people early. For one, it gives them exposure to the public administration field, but then social equity research and engagement within public administration. So it helps to kind of raise people up in the field, but also raise people up who are going to be interested in making these kind of changes and making this kind of effort to improve society. So I think that's actually really neat.
And you just take a look. I think this generation, I think, will be a powerful force to address these challenges, because it seems like it's something within them. They're kind of thirsting, hungering to kind of address some of these issues. So exposing them to our field, to appreciate what we do, why we do it, and how we can go about doing it, I think it will be great. And hopefully we will see this later in a few years in terms of enrollment when we think about our public administration, public management, public policy kind of programs at various institutions.
No, absolutely. Yeah, thinking of the people who are in college or maybe recently out, climate change has always kind of been a big hot ticket issue for them. So, you know, what is that next challenge for that generation who's coming next? You know, social equity is definitely something there. It's definitely something, since we are paying more attention to it, that they can work on challenging. So helping to raise up leaders within that, I think, is a fairly noble effort.
I think it's a noble effort, too. It's it's we're all leaning in, and we're leaning in for a good cause, and that is to do all we can to set up situations where people can lead their best lives. That's what public administration is all about. And that's what paying attention to inequities and overcoming them is all about.
Kind of switching direction a little bit, you know, thinking about, since so many people in the field have engaged in other types of research, but social equity does touch into just about everywhere of public administration, if someone was interested in engaging in social equity research, but they haven't had that experience before, what kind of advice would you give them, or where would you tell them to start?
Boy, it depends on where they are at the time. You know, the first thing I would say is, you know, tell me about the research you have been doing. And then I would say, you know, let's think about the equity implications of that. It's all around us. It's just that we have ignored it to a large degree. And it's a matter of just looking at what we simply assume or simply take for granted and examining it more closely. So that's where a conversation can really help open people's eyes to the equity implications of what they're already doing, what they're already studying. You know, the issue when we're looking at social equity is in any communication with anyone, we must always start with where that person is and then help them see, help them comprehend all of the equity implications to where they're already positioned.
One thing I've come to appreciate, I have so many blind spots. And so when we think about equity implications, oftentimes they're hidden in plain sight. But once we become aware of them, once we see them, we can never unsee them. So I see what we're doing is just kind of illuminating that which is hidden in plain sight. So those folks with different lived experiences, they could really enlighten all of us, bring about a greater awareness and understanding of those kind of inequities that are right in front of us. And so, you know, people just have to kind of dig into their lived experience to kind of share those lived experiences with others who, you know, I'm the Southern Baptist from down home, Southwest Georgia, Thomasville. We say blame it to the head and not to the heart. And I think that really applies because oftentimes we just don't know because it's not our reality. But once we know, then we have an opportunity to act upon that knowledge if we want to be, you know, the keepers, the protectors, the supporters of those that we're in community with. And I think JSEPA provides that platform to kind of educate and inform us, but also to kind of move us towards action to kind of make sure that everyone in our community is having that quality of life that we all want to have.
I'm very tempted to talk to you about Thomasville because I'm from Tallahassee, so right down the road from you.
Yes, yes.
But that's a different conversation for a different day. One thing I do kind of want to ask about, and I'm sure I'll fumble my question because I don't know of a non-awkward way for me to ask. You know, I'm a white male. You know, I've started doing some social equity research, but kind of as a white male, one of the fears that, you know, I have and have had and I've heard others have also said is that, you know, engaging in social equity research as a white male is kind of awkward, or it's not a domain that we should be a part of because we've been, you know, privileged, you know, long enough that we are perhaps maybe part of the problem in the first place, which I understand that's kind of, it shouldn't be that way. But, you know, as I said, I'm going to fumble this question because I don't know a good way of asking it. But if you had someone come and say, well, you know, they're like me, they're a white male, and they want to engage in the research, but they feel like it's not an area that they should be stepping into or that they are welcome into because of that position of who they are or their past privilege, what would you tell them or how would you give them guidance that of what to do? Sorry, I know it's a big question that I fumbled through fairly poorly, so I apologize for that.
Let me preface my comments by stating this is where I am at this point in time, right? I'm a lifelong learner. So at this point in time, I always believe that you have to follow your heart. It won't lead you astray. And if you follow your heart, your passion, your calling, your mission, your ministry, whatever phrase or word you want to use, you have to do that. I do believe to engage in this work, and to be in community with others who are engaging in this work, it requires having that brave space and not that safe space. So it requires us being authentic, you know, but also in our kind of being authentic, we become extremely vulnerable. But that's okay, right? That allows us to grow. That allows us to kind of understand not only ourselves, but ourselves within the midst of a much broader kind of community. But we have to kind of encourage this kind of brave space kind of environment. And again, I see JCEPA is, you know, that burning space, that's a brave space where we bring who we are to this particular platform. But with this notion of improving things, I am a big proponent of this. I believe in unity, but I don't believe in uniformity. And I think that's vitally important. We can be unified, which I see as being unity, like community, but not uniformed in our lived experiences, our approaches, our ways of thinking. As long as we have that same destination in mind, we might take different roads to get there. And any person who sees this and knows that this is their calling for their life work, hey, let them do it. But let them do it with an understanding that, as been said previously, you start where people are. And some people might be hesitant, might be resistant, and there might be reasons for that. But I believe in, also suspending judgment and extending grace, allowing people to develop, to grow. But we have to grow in the midst of each other, I think, by kind of being in community with each other.
See, and let me echo that idea of being in community, that the goal is for all people to live in harmony. That's the ideal. That's the goal. There has to be room for everyone. And it is so important for white males, those who have had the benefit of the greatest advantage, to be aware of that, but to not turn around and say, well, social equity doesn't affect me. Well, of course it affects you. And it requires a degree of self-awareness, but it also is an opportunity to learn and to open your eyes to that which you just assumed was a given. And in fact, it may be a given for your category, whether you're white male, whether you're black female, whether you're Asian, I mean, depending on what it is, it's each of us has our own perspective and our own lived experiences and our own ways of interpreting research. And we have to think more broadly. But is there a space for you, Bruce, as a white male who studies budgeting? Absolutely there is.
I'm thinking back, there was a conversation on Twitter a few days ago. The UK version of AACSB that accredits business schools has a list where they rank journals every year. And they announced that one of the new conditions that they're going to consider when ranking journals is the diversity of the editorial team and the editorial board, which to me sounds absolutely amazing. But there was a large pushback to it on Twitter, in part because everybody who's on the committee who made that decision that that's what they wanted to start incorporating was a white male. And, you're like, well, I get it. I was like, they're seeing that there's a problem. They're trying to help fix it. But the criticism was it wasn't their spot to fix it because they were the problem. Which, I mean, this is also the part of the problem of reading things on Twitter. It's not the friendliest of spots either.
Change is difficult, which is what pushback is all about. That, when one's givenness, one's assumption of privilege is challenged, then it's as soon as you realize you're at the table and you've got to pull your elbows in, all of a sudden you're not quite as comfortable with this. And this is why social equity is such a dynamic topic. it changes. It will change in that particular case just with the changes to the editorial board. It changes things. It is always in motion. The work is never complete.
Well, we've been going for quite a while, and I want to be as respectful as I can of both of your times. So as we're starting to kind of end, is there anything about JCEPA that you would like to be able to plug or add that I haven't asked you about yet, or anything about social equity research kind of more broadly as well?
The one thing I would say is to all public administration scholars is to bring your expertise to the table. Bring your perspectives on social equity to JCEPA. Bring your work to JCEPA. Help become part of the leading edge of examining far more closely those assumed normal policies, processes, measures, and so forth. Let's think real hard about what social equity can mean, and let's think real hard about how each of our own perspectives on research can contribute to that realization. That's what JCEPA is there for.
And I can't add anything to what what Mary has said. I concur wholeheartedly.
Perfect. Well, in that case, I want to thank both of you for coming on today and for joining me to talk about the journal. Absolutely excited for January 1st for the release of that first issue.
Thank you very much, Bruce.
Thanks, Bruce.